Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as the Used Book Guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. I had to pause for a second because I forgot the topic. Me and Johnny try this past few episodes, we tried to record them all in one day, and this is our last one for today, so we're both kind of out of it. But he does have a very good topic, which is doing the right thing. And this is business related, and I personally just think being a good human being is doing the right thing. But I'm here to tell you, in the land of reselling, it is a slippery slope out there, and I've experienced it firsthand, and I know a lot of others have experienced firsthand. So I'll let you kind of take it us away here with doing the right thing, kind of what it means to you and your business, and kind of maybe some examples of the good and the bad that you've seen out there.
Sure. And I think it comes down to your own morals and your own ethics that bleed into your business, right? And the term personal, this isn't personal, it's just business. Kind of, but I still think it bleeds over into your business. Like for us over here, I don't really list what would be considered porn. I've had employees in the past, and my current employee is not allowed. They're like, this makes me uncomfortable. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to deal on that anymore. And when my latest one came along, he's a younger guy. His dad straight up talked to me. He's like, I don't want him to list any of this kind of material. I'm like, great, because that was a past policy we had. We don't list that. Do I have that material? Yeah. Am I waiting for the right buyer to come along? Yeah. Or am I waiting for the right personnel to come along to be able to list that stuff? Sure. But as of right now, I don't actively list that stuff because it causes problems in the workplace just because of my operation. Now, do people make tons of money selling porn or scantily clad nudie magazines or skin flicks? Absolutely, they do. And they have no problems with it. And I get it because it's money to be had, right? The widget doesn't matter. Well, sometimes the widget does matter, like in my case. Like it makes my employees uncomfortable, so we don't. The latest one is a little bit more extreme. So I have to be, it's not porn that I have, but it's very scantily clad ladies, just cause it's cover art. So I just have a couple of containers in the back. Whenever that stuff comes up, I just put them in there. He doesn't even see them or know about them. Doesn't even know they exist. So that's one for instance. Another for instance is a fun little story. So I went to a library sale and I did my eBay walkthrough, and we talked about this in the previous podcast. And I don't know, halfway through the sale, a librarian lady makes a big bullhorn kind of announcement. We're looking for this book. I didn't think anything of it until I got back and I realized, yes, you took that book. It was me. And I called, I apologized. I took it up there. Good karma, right? Well, on my way back, guess what happened? Rock. From a vehicle in front of me, cracked my windshield, flew up right in there. I'm like, if I had just stayed home and it was a $200 book, actually, and not re-deliver this thing, I would have been better off. Because I did the right thing, not only did I put more time into the sourcing run, I got a cracked windshield for my efforts of doing the right thing. But you know what? I feel better about it. I don't feel like I stole anything or did anything nefarious. Now, another person may have come along and did the opposite. They kept that. They sold it for $200. They made $200. Who's right and who's wrong? Well, that's for you to decide because that's your own personal ethics and morals you got to go by. What you got, Mike?
I think I fall into the same category. And I would attribute the only reason this podcast, our friendship, my whole YouTube channel, helping thousands of people make more money selling online is by doing the right thing, right? Like being 100% transparent and kind of pulling every single thing I've ever done out there, all the mistakes, all the things, how I'm winning, how I'm losing. That's the right thing to do. And I don't think that gets sold enough out there in the universe. A lot of people only show their wins, or they have this one secret thing that they do and they don't tell nobody else about it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that, right? If you have something that's super like valuable to your, like an IP, right? Like your IP, your brand, or if you have this one super secret way of getting certain items, I don't think there's anything wrong with holding that information back. What gets me here in the reselling space is when people sell try to sell you things, right? Not necessarily like courses, because there's a lot of good courses out there. They used to be completely different. It used to just be every course was a scam. I think that's kind of evolved now. There is value in a lot of these courses. But what I see personally, and that I know personally, is that other resellers try to sell you their products, like their goods, for example, books, and they give you claims of, well, these aren't picked over, right? Like, these are good for you. These are good for you. Just buy my Gaylords, buy my items in bulk. And then you come to find out that 100% these items are picked over, and 100% they're still saying that they're not picked over, right? So the morals we're talking about here, don't, I want you to assume the opposite. I want you to assume everybody's trying to get one over on you in reselling space. Like, until you see enough concrete proof that they're not pulling the wool over your eyes, I want you to assume that, okay, this person is pitching something that isn't real, or this is too good to be true. And usually, if it is too good to be true, a lot of the times it is too good to be true, right? Like, if this person sells on Amazon or sells books, why would they be giving me, quote unquote, good inventory to sell when they could just sell it themselves, right? But we don't think about that at the base level. I do think integrity has to, it is a huge part of my life. I know it's a huge part of your life, and I do believe treating others how you want to be treated will get you places. And sure, it happens all the time, like Johnny said. You know, you took the book back and you get a cracked windshield. That's just a little piece of life, right? That's just life happening. But I'll give an example. I was at a library sale last month and I got my IKEA bags, and like, I don't carry all my IKEA bags around the sale, so I just set them down around around the library sale. Like, wherever I get a full bag, I put it off to the side. And people happen all the time, like, hey, what's that bag over there? Like, can I buy something out of there? And then they're always like, oh no, that's that gentleman over there. He's buying those. First thing that comes out of my mouth is, I've even said this to people at the thrift stores, like, hey, if you want one of these things, like, take it. I just plan on reselling it. If it's something you want for yourself, 100% take it. There's enough of this stuff out there. I don't have to be like, no, don't you dare take that book, right? Like, I'm gonna just find another one. And I do think I get rewarded, just the Murphy's Law of life, and doing enough good that it gets paid back to me eventually. I build amazing friendships, relationships, just by being 100% transparent. And I don't know. I guess you could say the same thing in business, right? Like, if you're listing something on eBay and you try to like lie about the condition, I mean, these scumbags do it. These huge sellers, they list these books from like 1920 as brand new, right? You know that book. There's no shot that book's brand new. It's from 1920. It's from the 1800s. Or I even had an example where I had to buy one book to complete the set, and it said it was in like used, very good condition, but it's a stock photo. I get the book. It's nowhere near very good. Like, what planet are you on where you think like torn cover is very good condition for a book, right? Like, that doesn't exist. So there are, I guess, some people don't lose sleep at night, and that's what I struggle with, right? Because I'm the person that will lose sleep at night, and I think a lot of people, they just don't care. They're just like, whatever, you know, I don't give a shit. Or they had the mindset of, well, they're taking money off my family's, they're taking food out of my family's mouth because she wants the book that's in my bag that I'm going to sell for $30 and make $20 on, and she wants my stuff. I got that stuff. Blah, 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 blah. I'm just like, I ain't got time for it.
Yeah, I mean, it can even go down to more to a simplistic level, like of, I don't know, not tipping over somebody's cart at a library sale or digging and shopping from their cart that they've already accumulated. Like, no, back off, my dude. These are mine. They're in my cart. Take a step back, please, and thank you. Why would you do that? What's wrong with you?
Dude,
It's
look at
like
the
the
bins. Look at the
yeah.
bins. The bins are an everyday real life example of the type of behavior we're talking about. Until somebody shows me on YouTube, they walk into the bins and everybody shakes hands, hugs, says, hey, what are you here for? Oh, I'm here for, oh, that's great. I'll keep my eye out for you, right? We won't push, we won't shove when they roll the bins out.
Take
That
an
is the real
elbow to
life.
the face.
That's it, dude. That is the reality of it out there, that we have to be so nasty and treat others with no respect because there's nowhere else we can get this stuff. And if I don't get these items, even if it means I've seen it, I've literally witnessed with my own two eyes in person at Goodwill bins, these scumbag booksellers push literally senior citizens out of the way to grab books, like physically move them. I just don't operate like that. And I know, maybe, I mean, not maybe, sure, do I lose money, right, by giving the lady at the library sale the book out of my IKEA bag? Do I lose money? Listen, the whole world isn't all about money, right? I want people to feel good. I want people to have a good time. I don't want to be seen as a burden. And I think that's why now you've seen it, right? Library sales, some of them don't allow scanners. Johnny, why wouldn't a library sale allow people to scan? Because they're rude. The majority, the idea of resellers, especially book scanners at library sales, is that they're all going to be rude and ignorant and block the aisle and not let the normal shoppers shop. And they're 100% right, because the majority of them, that's who they are.
Yeah, like my last library sale, and it's one I go to frequently. They got more tables in, but they narrowed the alleyways. I would block the alley if I put my cart in. So what did I do? I moved my cart to the end of the table, the line of tables, put it at the very end, essentially. You know what? I had to put more time into walking back and forth and waiting to walk sideways between people in order to that. Did it suck? Yeah. Was it the right thing to do? Also, yeah. I could have been that jerk who blocked the lane and nobody could get by me. They have to go around and it would have been ridiculous. Another thing is like how you and I have both seen this, how shelves are just disorganized from other sellers. It's like they put it the page edges facing out. You can't even see the spine. Nobody's gonna pick up that book or straighten up the shelf. When I'm pulling like that, I always make sure I straighten it back up. I move the books down as far as they can so they don't fall over the best I can. But other sellers just don't give a damn. They're like, yoink, yoink, scan, scan, mine, 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 buy. And they leave an entire mess like a toddler would. I don't understand that. Like,
I think it's too big of a problem here, man. This is like a humanity problem, not just a reselling problem. I think people just.
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at GoToLister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
the days of respecting one another's space and, treating and being the best possible form of ourselves. And I get it, some people get dealt a crappy hand of cards, and maybe your mindset on life is skewed, or you think everybody out there is a scumbag trying to just get over on you. That's not the case. And it's hard when it comes to reselling because, through the years, I've seen so many people come and go. There's so many people still in the community that are great. And there's still so many people in the community that are not so great. And it comes with I treat this podcast and the YouTube channel as like a burden of physical proof of actual results so you can see what you possibly can do. But if I wanted to be the guy, if me and Johnny wanted to be the gentleman to sell you books in bulk, CDs in bulk, DVDs in bulk, right? Well, you think that, hey, that they seem like genuine guys, right? Like, you all out there would buy Gaylords from us if we told you, hey, this is not picked over, right? And I'm here to tell you, you cannot take people at their word the majority of time. You need to vet what is going on, where is the quality of, the inventory coming from. I think about it this way, right? I see Tech, he's selling the bulk clothes, right? Like, he's got videos. He's literally sitting in his warehouse showing you what it is, right? The quality, the brands. He's got a list of everything. That is how it's done the proper way. But for every one of, every tech, there's five other people that'll sell you a Gaylord of clothing, and it's great for reselling, but you won't know what's in it. And when you get it, there's probably rats, there's probably roaches. This exists in the media world as well. I personally know people that have gotten Gaylords that have had rats and roaches in them from sources that say, hey, they're great, no problem. This is the best inventory you possibly could have. Now, can I sit here and go off a list of names? 100% I could. But me being the good person that I am, maybe some of you think I'm not the good person for not specifically naming these people, but I've talked about them before. I just feel like everybody's going to get what's coming to them, I guess. As crappy as that sounds, like at the end of the day, it's going to catch up to you. Sure, Johnny lost the windshield, but Maybe the next library sale, the universe pays him back with a whole collection of Easton presses that he can buy for $1 a piece.
Well, the very next one, they let me take the contents from the previous sale in their back room. They never done that before. They knew nothing about the windshield. All they knew is I returned the book. And these librarians, they treat me like gold. They make me cookies. I don't bring them food. They bring me food. These are probably, it's probably my favorite source. I do it twice a year for them at their sale. But every time it's great. They treat me like gold. They box everything up. They help me load my truck. I get to use their volunteers. It's probably the greatest experience outside of me having a driver to go pick it up for me, but I would miss out on cookies, so screw that. So I got two bookstores stories for you. One's more tragic than the other. So I had a post on Marketplace, like you get the whole cart of books for $5, right? So I had a woman drive an hour, and because I forgot to take the post down. And then I informed her, and she was really sad. And I offered her more free books just for her trouble. She's like, no, just thank you. But another lady walked in 5 minutes later for the exact same thing. I'm like, oh my God, I should have taken that down. That's my bad. But this woman, one, she was an Amazon. She was a giant lady. And she had some books in her hand, but she came for the cart in addition. And she was so mad at me, so mad. That she stole the book she had in her hand. Like, as soon as I informed her, she knocked down my sign, stormed out, drove off with her books without paying for them. I'm like, I didn't care too much other than she stole from me, like, blatantly stole from me. I could have called the cops because it's like, this is in front of me. It's not even secretive, it's overtly done. So I found that kind of hysterical. But again, didn't care. She drove off with books. Yay. I've had scanners come into the store before, and I pretty much tell them, like, look, and back then it was like rock bottom triggers. It was my send everything model that you get a big bill for and long storage fees, let me tell you. But she said she's not there to scan, she's there to shop. But I'm hearing the scoutly noise go off, right? I know exactly that sound because it's out loud. And, so I walked out there again. And I told her, like, look, I've already scanned this and we just rescanned the store recently. You're not really going to find anything. She told me what she was looking for. I'm like, no, our metrics were lower. And she continued to scan. She kept telling me she wasn't there to scan, but I'm hearing the scoutly noise go off over and over and over again. I'm like, A, why would you lie about that? B, why are you wasting your time? I guess you didn't believe me and thought I was a liar. But you're the one that's lying, right? I think that's the thing that everybody thinks everybody's trying to get one over on somebody else, and they just don't believe. Or they think maybe he missed something and I can get it. But when you're talking, my store had thousands and thousands of books in there. I'm trying to do you the service of not wasting your time. Nobody's ever done that for me, but I'm doing you the courtesy of giving you the heads up. But you don't want it, apparently. So I don't know what to do with those people.
If somebody is trying to force you in, if somebody's like super overselling a product or a service, like that is the first telltale sign. Like I just get like, oh, this stuff's really good, this stuff's great, and like it's a never-ending process until they actually get your money. And I want people to understand, no matter what category you sell in, we can go acquire this stuff ourselves, right? Trying to take the shortcut, and a lot of these situations, it usually is bulk inventory, you know. Trying to be the bigger person and keep it real and, you know, being transparent across the board. It is the bulk opportunities where people get burned the most. And I'm sorry, buddy. It's all out there for the taking. I'm not relying on one single source, right? I'm not solely relying on getting a Gaylord from this specific person or this one library that I work with. We always should be looking to go further upstream. And why am I getting it from the library? Why am I not getting it before they even take it to the library to donate it? You could argue, right? But at the end of the day, when I show up at the library, I don't have to pay nothing. I donate money. I show up to the library sale, I'm bringing Dunkin' Donuts. I'm bringing food for everybody, food and drinks for everybody. It's just a common courtesy. And it's hard to relate it to reselling because I do think it is a personal trait. And I think, you know, we get a bad rap as resellers. You know, we had the episode where we talked about why everybody hates resellers. And, you know, for every good one, I'm sure there's a bad one out there, but people re always remember the bad times more than they do the good times, right? It's like the idea when people rarely leave 5-star reviews, but if they have a bad experience, you're going to get a 1-star review almost guaranteed, right? So it's kind of the same thing. We're all bundled into this group of scalpers, right? Like we're seen as scalpers. And sure, right? If they don't know me, it's the first time they met me, and I go in and I'm scanning, and they've had bad experience, right? Like Johnny came in and destroyed the little library and made a mess. Like the first thing you're going to think is, oh shit, here we go again. We got another one of these guys. And then I do things differently. I have a conversation when I check out. You know, they always explain what I'm doing if they have any questions. And all of a sudden, I'm the new guy, right? They're like, oh, yeah, this guy's great. And hopefully, the next person that comes in isn't destroying the place. But all I can do is take care of my own public appearance. And for me, I want it to be an honest, upfront, hey, this is it, right? This is what I do. Here's what I do. Here's what I make. Here's how I make it. Here's everything I got going on. If I ever was to try to sell something, right? I guess you could say I try to sell the YouTube membership for $2.99 when it should be like 10x that, right? Like it's all there, right? You know, you get a weekly call with me or Johnny every single week. We got the private Discord that Johnny set up that basically is a 24/7 chat room. Everything is there for you to kind of be like, okay, here's the value in it. I'm not just trying to sell you a random box of things you have no idea what it is. I'm just telling you it's going to be great for you when it's probably not going to be great for you.
There you go. So I got two more for you. And again, I don't got the answer for you. It's up to you to decide. But if you go to a little free library, are you just taking and not putting books on the little free library? Are you that person? What about when you go to Goodwill? They give you Bibles, right? Are you just taking the free Bibles and not get donating anything in return? I'm not saying who's right or wrong here, but it's something to think about. What's the right thing to do? In my opinion on the little free library, I think if you're going to take a book, you leave a book on the little free library. The whole Bible thing, the free Bible thing, I'm not really going to give them a free Bible. I may give them another book, but I'm going to take a Bible and give another book. So I think I'm putting some good karma in there, or maybe I'm just a bad human being. But you know what? I'm going to sell that Bible to somebody who's going to appreciate that Bible. So I think it evens out.
A famous man once told me, everybody can run their business as they see fit, right? And
They can.
I think that's more or less trickles into more than the business side. It also trickles into like how are we approaching different situations? None of us are the same, right? We all have different standards, different morals, right? Like Johnny's saying, he don't sell the Playboy magazines, but I'm here to tell you there's people out there that absolutely only sell Playboy magazines and make a lot of money. We're not telling you do certain things a certain way, but I do think at the very least, when we go into a location that isn't ours, we should not be destroying the place, right? Like we should not just be a tornado that comes through and leaves a mess. I do think we should not be pushing anybody for any reason, rather yet senior citizens out of the way to hopefully make $1 or $2 on some books, right? I do have hard stops, and I think all of us do. It's just a matter of what's that? What is that in your business? What is that in your life, right? Like some of us have kids, right? Like no one's ever gonna, push a kid out of the way or snatch a toy from a kid's hand in a thrift store. But I'm here to tell you, if somebody sees the original 1970 Ninja Turtle that the kids got in the thrift store and they know that, right? Like they're gonna be like, hey, little Billy, can I see that? And then poof, they're gone, right? That reseller exists out there, dude. Like
Did he take the child and the
we're leaving the kid behind, right? And it's tough, man. This topic is so loaded because it's so much more than reselling. It's more personal beliefs and aspects and the whole nine yards. But I do think if you incorporate treating people the right way in reselling, it's going to open more doors than it's going to close, right? Like you're going to make more money being transparent, having conversations, treating places and people with respect than you will being the person that goes in, is the Tasmanian devil, is rude and ignorant in every single business.
Oh yeah. I don't know if you've encountered this. I've encountered this in reselling. I've encountered it in other places where hygiene doesn't really come into effect and they use it to their advantage. And if you haven't guessed what I'm talking about, it's like literally not bathing, you smell raw and rancid, right? And it's to get everybody away from you so you have a clear lane of traffic. This is a business strategy, right? To be the smelliest human being as possible, to weed out your competition as the Red Seas will part. because no one wants to smell your rancid ass. I'm not a
Fashion
fan of this.
podcast.
I don't support this. Why are you doing this? There are better ways. I'm sorry.
The next episode is going to be titled "Why You Should Wear Loaded Diapers to Make More Money Reselling." It's funny because I joke about this all the time, right? Like I'll be like, "Oh, Deb, I'm not going to shower because I got a library sale tomorrow, right? Like, I'm going to keep all the people away from me." And she's like, "You're getting in that shower, boy." I'm like, "Yeah, you're probably right." It's crazy though, dude, because there is somebody out there right now that thinks that this is a winning strategy, right? Like, to literally have a pet skunk and spray yourself down before you go to the bins because you think this is how you're gonna win. It's
You're like coming in like Fat Albert. Hey, everybody. And everybody runs away because you smell so bad. Now,
oh.
are they going to get the items? Yeah, but at what moral cost?
Maybe you only do it for like a short period of time, but then again, once you stop smelling, people are just going to come back over anyway, right? So it's not even like something where you just have a reputation. You always got to smell if you're going to be the smelly guy, right? Like there's no path out of it.
I saw a, and it relates to this. For those who are familiar with Farsight Comics, what they did is they had Pigpen, which is a character from the Peanuts, in there, right? And they had all the other Peanuts characters around him with like buckets of water and soap and lotion, and the little caption said, "Get him." So I could see that, like, the guy rolls up at the bins and all everybody has unified together to rinse this individual down.
It's, dude, that's so crazy because it's so true. Like what we talk about, like that is factual. Like I bet if I went to my bins right here, I probably experienced some. And people think it's like a strategy, right? It's not like they just don't have access to like a shower or a bath. It's like, no, hey, I'm gonna launch my How to Make More Money Smelling as Bad as You Possibly Can course, right? Like, and I'll have strategies like eat onions like the Grinch, right? Like I'll have a whole list of a 10-step foolproof strategy to make more money just by smelling like absolute trash.
Oh man, it's terrible. So another good moral, ethical slash do the right thing is in negotiating. It doesn't come up often enough because we always want to buy things for the lowest price. They always want to get the highest price. If you know something to be of tremendous value and you come in with your usual offer, and it's the little old lady who's trying to pay for her husband's funeral expenses, you might want to consider paying up slightly,
But she
unless
only wanted a dollar.
I don't care. That's a moral line I ain't crossing. The little old lady with the dead husband who wants to bury him in their plotted land. If I know it to be like a $3,000 book, I'm going to pay up more than the dollar for it. I'm sorry, I just am. So I think that's a do the right thing, but it comes down to, yeah, we want to pay as little as possible, and they want to make as much as possible. But there's some things I think is unfair in the art of negotiation. Like, you know, it's big money. You should maybe pay a little up. And like, no, I know you wanted to sell it to me for this. I'm actually going to do you a little bit more than this because it's a good collection.
Now, I'll be transparent and say that I do agree with Johnny said, but I'm not paying more for items at the Goodwill or any of these big thrift store chains because they are not the great, amazing companies they kind of spin it out to be. Their public image of helping others, every 98 cents of every dollar, they're not for the needy. Their prices are through the roof. Yada yada yada. You can blame resellers, whatever it may be. But I do agree, right? We're in unique situations when we're dealing with other human beings and buying their goods from them, right? Like you have to treat each situation. I think having this idea of just, well, I only pay a dollar, and that's how it's got to be no matter what. I think that's a wrong approach to it because there are opportunities, right? Like, sure, could I probably still get the books from the library if I didn't donate every time I went and bring donuts and set up the sale? Probably yes, right? Like 100, it's probably like 95%. I'm still the guy because they just want the books gone. But I do think treating others with respect, treating other situations how you want to be treated is how you're going to go places and reselling. And I feel like we're having like a Sesame Street conversation today on this one, man,
Little
because it's
elbows gonna, hi guys.
that's the basics. it seems so basic to us because we operate this way, and I just want everybody to be aware that, just because other people act like scumbags doesn't mean you gotta be the same way, right? Like I want to change the whole culture around selling books, right? Are you one of these book dealers that's gonna come in and block the aisles? No, not at all, right? Don't associate me with these people, right? You one of these scanners that's gonna come in with 30 people and block our patrons, and no, that's not me at all, right? Like, I'm gonna approach things differently. Even if I had a team of 10 people, right? I have standards that are mine, but I'm also gonna uphold them to others that I'm around. If Johnny was a scumbag, guess whose ass isn't on this podcast? Guess whose ass isn't in my group, right? It's him. I don't play that. My big thing when we look at it in business relationships, if you're a scumbag or you're doing things that I don't agree with morally, unfortunately, I don't care what knowledge you have. I care more about who you are as a person than you do your business, than I do what's going on in your business. I want people around me that are actually honest human beings that treat others with respect more than I need people around me that are the trillion-dollar sellers of the universe, right? Like, I want people that are real, down to earth, treat others how I expect to be treated, have some type of standards like this gentleman does sitting next to me. Those are the people I want. I don't care if somebody comes along and says, "Well, Mike, I sell $1 trillion on eBay. The hell with Johnny." Well, what are you doing? You're a scumbag. You got, poor people doing listings for you. You're not paying them nothing, right? Like, whatever that may be. I don't care about that. I want people that are real. I want people that are respectful. Those are the people I want around me. I don't care what they got going on in the business.
There you go. Another fun one. We always talk about getting it before the end of the line, right? But there is one strategy I refuse to do that does exactly that. VO Bits reseller, where you pull out the obits, you go to the person's home that has recently passed away, hoping that family relations are there and like, look, I'm here to clear you out. You're following the strategy, but at what cost? You're right, but you're wrong at the same time, in
I ain't
my
got the balls to
opinion.
do it. I ain't got
But
the
no,
balls
I
to go
can't
knock
do
on
it.
somebody's door, and be like, "Hey, I know your wife passed away of 100 years, but does she have any of those old, Vera Wang dresses? I'll give you a few bucks a piece for them, right? Like, you're not gonna do nothing with them anyway, right? Like, I agree. Like we said, it's different for everybody. We all have lines in the
Will
sand.
I advertise the old folks' home and the funeral home as a service? Yes. Will I go and knock it onto the recently deceased? Hell no.
I agree. I'm gonna wrap this up here. Treat others how you want to be treated, and keep your inner circle full of people that treat others the way you want to be treated. Don't feel like just because somebody has a big business that they are a great human being, and don't feel like just because somebody has a big business, quote unquote, that you're obligated to have a relationship with them, right? Like, I don't like I said, I don't care who it is, how much money they make, if they don't conduct business or do things in a manner I see fit, then unfortunately, I don't have space for it in my inner circle. That's just the reality of the situation. And that's me being 100% transparent. And Johnny's the same way. And you do things the right way, and you'll get rewarded one way for another. Sometimes it'll be a cracked windshield. Sometimes it'll be, a great collection of books. So that's going to do it for this week's episode. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.